Our scripture today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verse 12. There we go. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to read your word with one another, this chance to experience your grace, to hear what it is that you want us to. We pray also for your mercy that as we expound on your word, but that too is used for your glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we thank you for this time and for the blessings that we see in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1-12. Hear now God's word. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Sure, we got time here. Okay. So, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1-12. It's something that we almost always read during the time of Epiphany. Kind of like a Christian staple, you know, something we can always count on. On Christmas Eve services, we always hear Luke chapter 2, verse 1-20 being read. And now on Epiphany, we can be sure that we're going to be talking about the wise men. We've heard about the wise men a lot. We have them up here with the nativity. We say there's three. We don't know if there was actually three. But, you know, there's three because of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, three gifts, three wise men. Story of the wise men, I've always longed love. Now, we learned during the Christmas Eve service why the wise men are represented in the nativity. I'm sorry, it was last week we learned on the 26th. And why they're represented in the nativity is because the nativity have the shepherds. The word of God about the Messiah to the Jews, and then the wise men, the word of God about the Messiah to the Gentiles. So that God's word, the gift of Jesus, is for all people, Jews and Gentiles, and that covers everybody. Now, the wise men always like to think about them and in that trip that they took. We know the story. They saw the star in the sky. They got on their camels or whatever it is that they did, and they trekked from the east all the way to the west to Jerusalem first, and then to Bethlehem after they found out that that's where the Messiah was to be born, and that's where the star stopped over for them. Now, the part that we usually don't read about is the sad part. It immediately follows our scripture. After the wise men left and returned home a different way, King Herod figured out that he was duped by them. He got really kind of upset, and so ordered the eradication of all boys in Bethlehem from the ages of 2 and under, according to the time that the wise men had seen the star. It's an extremely sad moment in the life of Bethlehem. It also kind of tells us a little clue about the wise men and how far away they may have journeyed. If the star appeared 2 years ago from the point where the wise men saw Jesus to when they saw the star, it makes me think how long their journey was. It could have been 2 years that they were traveling to get to Jesus if they left immediately. That's probably unlikely. They may have made plans, tried to figure out what was going on, you know, that sort of thing. I'm thinking maybe possibly a year worth of travel, maybe even as little as 6 months. But still, we're talking, it's a lot of travel. I mean, I get antsy in a car when I'm there for 5 hours. I can't imagine making that trek for that period of time. That's the thing when you think about the wise men, when I think about the wise men, time. Their devotion and their excitement to see Jesus was borne out over a long period of time. It wasn't a passion that came during the moment of their epiphany and then quickly burned out. Their epiphany, in fact, was when they saw the star, was that this star represented a king. Not just any old king, but their king. A king that they wanted to see, even though they weren't part of this particular nation of Israel. So, it made me think, how fast is an epiphany? What is an epiphany? A revelation. A what? An awakening. My favorite way to describe it, you've heard it before, I'm sure, the aha moment. You know, the I get it, aha. Of course, that moment just lasts just a moment. That's all it is. The aha, the dawning. We saw how the Grinch stole Christmas. The moment of epiphany for the Grinch when he finally realized what Christmas was about. That moment of epiphany when I was hanging around the house and my neck was bothering me. When I realized why my neck was bothering, is because I'm not young anymore. You know, those moments, those aha moments of life. And we have a lot of them, and they come in all kind of various shapes and sizes. But one thing that they all have in common is that they change our lives. Maybe not bigly, but the moment I realized where my neck pain was coming from, I realized there's things that I just can't do anymore. Things I have to be careful of about. When the Grinch had that aha moment, just a moment to change his life. He returned everything and celebrated Christmas with them. The wise men who had the aha moment about the star then took the next 2 years or so and traveled to Israel. And that's the thing. The wise men showed me that even a moment of a change in our lives can have lasting consequences, good things. The thing is, though, in our society, we don't seem to like time very much. We don't like to let things linger or stretch out. The thought of traveling 2 years to get to a particular place makes our stomach hurt. Can't imagine taking 2 years for something to accomplish. And I say that because of all the time-saving devices that we have. How many of you own a time-saving device of some sort or another? How many have a microwave? That's a time-saving device, isn't it? Isn't that pretty much why we have a microwave? A stove is enough, isn't it? A stove can do everything a microwave can. A microwave just does it faster. And not nearly as good, if you're honest. It's designed to save time, to heat up things quicker, but it definitely loses quality on certain items. Does a microwave make anything taste better? I don't think so. Maybe you like your chicken taste like rubber. But I definitely don't. I don't know. You should never put chicken in a microwave. But then we got the air fryers. Anyone have an air fryer? No, I do recommend an air fryer. Somewhere between an oven and a microwave. The food actually does improve in taste in certain things, but does take a little longer. You know, instead of 30 seconds, it's like 3 minutes. You know, we work really hard on saving time. I'm doing most of the cooking now, and I have to cut the vegetables, and that takes forever to cut veggies. Beverly told me about this thing you can buy. It's a little bowl with blades, and you can push on it, and it chops the veggies for you. We want things to go faster. We like it when things move quickly. But here's a question that someone posed to me in a book that I'd read, which is, can you save time? Can you actually take a minute, stick it in your pocket, and spend it later? You know, like you say, money. You can't. The only thing you can do with time is spend time. That's it. And the two choices we have for spending time is either spending it well or spending it poorly. And that's our only two choices. And I think most of us in this culture that we live in really do spend time poorly. We have all of these time-saving devices that we have, and yet we still complain about not having any time, so that really tells me that we're not doing a good job with the time that we have. We try so hard to save time that we missed opportunity to use time wisely. That's why I love the wise men so much. Because they saw that there was something happening that they didn't want to miss. And that this thing that they didn't want to miss would take a lot of time out of their lives. And they were willing to spend it. Spend it well, they did. Traveling across the wilderness and the desert, going to lands they've never been before, meeting kings and people, sharing prophecies, finally making it to their journey, to their destination, rejoicing, and going back home with stories. Do you know how long the average person can stand silence without breaking it? 10 seconds. We have a hard time with time. And now we're on the precipice of this new time. We call it 2022. And we look forward to it, and we have no idea I stopped predicting what's going to happen in a year on 2020. And then I thought I would try again on 2021, and that was awful. So I'm done predicting what's going to happen in this coming year. But all I know is that the time that I have is today. And at this moment, I need to give that to God. The epiphany is that Jesus loves me. I'm a Gentile, not one of the chosen ones. And Jesus' love extends even to me. What am I going to do with that? How long is it going to take? Truth is it could take forever to do what God wants me to do, but it's God's time and anyway. I pray that I'm able to be patient and that we all are during 2022 and that however long God's plans take, we just enjoy it. Go along for the ride, not wanting to hurry things up, but seeing Christ in every moment. As the disciples anticipated that moment where they saw Christ, I pray that we anticipate our moments, one by one, to share God's love with those around us and to experience it and see it as Christ reveals himself to us. We leave you with this benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen.